Ian Basarabi, what is your superpower? Clearly it's not tact.
Well, it's not music either, but.
Right, well, I didn't want to say because that would just be rude.
I would never be rude, unlike others.
But what is your superpower?
So my superpower, funny enough, and I'll explain how I got to my superpower in a sec, but my superpower is mind reading. Believe it or not. But it's not mind reading in the sense that I certainly can't read your mind, Howard. That would be a
yes, because if you did, you would never have said anything near than what you have said earlier.
Clearly. So the backstory to this, and I'll come back to the mind reading one in a sec, is I co-facilitated a leadership immersion session last week where we were looking at strategic and innovative ways of how to look at the future of work and look at identifying successful team players and what to look for. And the person I was co-facilitating with, I did my bit on positivity and all of that, and then I handed over, and this person was a industrial psychologist. Mm-hmm. And as they started talking about the typical personality test thing, that was my cue to exit. You know, I think being in corporate for 25 years, and I'm sure many listeners have been through these Myers-Briggs and all of those things. Yes, I sense from your sigh.
Right, and my rolling eyes.
Yeah,
so one doesn't need to be a mind reader.
No, yeah. Certainly not. And I was just about to leave the room when this individual turned around and said, we're going to do this totally different. And I thought, okay, well, this should be interesting. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is what he did was he got everybody to fill out a very short quiz. And then what he did was he then revealed through the collation of the answers, everybody's typical who their superhero would be and what their superpower was. And I found that to be such a refreshing.
So refreshing.
It was so refreshing because first of all, just the way it expressed people's strengths and also acknowledged weaknesses or acknowledged responsibility that comes with the personality. Like, I'll never forget, he used the term, he actually quoted Spider-Man, and he said Spider-Man said that with powers comes huge responsibility.
Yes.
And I know we've all heard it a million times,
yes.
But it's so true. You know, we forget that. If we have a certain skill or we have a certain value that we bring, it comes with a level of responsibility, and we need to respect that. So why mine came out as mind reading, just to share, and it would be great to hear what listeners feel their superpower is, and more importantly, do they see that superpower as being valued within the organization, is that it was because I was seen to be empathetic and – I have an uncanny ability to know what people are thinking and feeling.
Right.
And that translates through this methodology that this guy's created, that I can comb through everyone's secrets because I'm empathetic. I've got a high EQ, being emotional intelligence, which is becoming far more valuable in the workplace than IQ. Because if you can read people and you can understand them. So, yeah, mind reader sounds very fancy and it sounds nice.
Right. But it's really the ability to actually be sensitive to your environment around you. That's what it is. So they're different people. Obviously, everybody has their own super. Zanati, what is your superpower?
I actually think I'm...
Because, you know, Zanati, get your own superpower. Get your own superpower. She's like one of those superheroes that... absorb other people's superpowers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I feel like you're about to say, no, you're lying.
I would never, just because I'm reading your body language and you are, okay. I would never say that on a radio. But I'd love to hear from you, 34519 or 0618951019. What do you think your superpower is? And there's no doubt that everybody has one. It's the kind of thing that you are very good at, that contribute to any environment. Maybe your superpower is laughter. Maybe it's humor.
Absolutely.
Maybe it is positivity. Maybe it's, rationality. Mm. You know, there's lots of different ways in which one could bring something to an environment.
And Howard, just thinking about you, I would say that you would like have, X-ray vision. And why I'd say X-ray vision is because of your skills with body language. And that's something that we all know, like X-ray vision. You know, it's from our imagination. But it's a very valuable tool, is because you walk in there and you can see beyond what people are saying. You can see what beyond what people may be trying to portray, but are giving away other hints. And that's like X-ray vision. And the nice thing about this is you don't have to just be the stereotypical superhero, in the sense is, are you like kids running through a playground? Are you Spider-Man, Superman, Batman? You know, there's a deeper meaning to what we call the superpowers.
Yeah. but just playing the devil's advocate a little bit, doesn't saying that I have a superpower, that we have superpowers, doesn't that lock us into an image of ourselves that sometimes can be quite difficult? In other words, if my superpower is X-ray vision, as you've said, and I'm able to see, read people's body language and what they're saying and what they're really thinking, sort of getting to the essence of it, it means that I don't almost allow room for being wrong, and I can be wrong. In fact, we're very, very often wrong, because we come into any situation with a prior narrative, with our own emotions and feelings and baggage and stuff. And sometimes if we aren't triggered, or if we maybe I have that superpower, we have our superpowers when we're not triggered in some way, but sometimes we are, in which case I guess it's our kryptonite, but I think we do need to be careful to not lock ourselves or others into any firm narrative, because things can change.
So Howard, that's a phenomenal point that you've mentioned, and something that is so critical about self-awareness. And self-awareness is really about exactly what you've said, is that often if we don't know what that's, let's call it the superpower, or we don't know the power of that skill and the impact that has, we can use it irrationally, and we can use it for incorrect means. So, for example, the point about that if you don't know that you are a dominant personality in an environment, and you come in very overpowering and all of that, you could actually diminish the value of a team. But the minute you are aware that that is a skill that you have, and you use that skill appropriately, that could have huge value in you actually being more of a strength than a liability. So it's more about self-awareness. And going back to what I say is once you know what you're good at, it's how you utilize it, and it's the responsibility that you take to maximize that skill. You know, we always talk about people have strengths and weaknesses, equal strengths and weaknesses. And often people say, yeah, you should work on your weaknesses. I disagree with that. I think that.
Oh, please. I totally disagree. Take those weaknesses, throw them away, and work on your strengths.
Absolutely.
You know what? If you're weak at something, you're always going to be weak at something.
Absolutely.
I can tell you, I will never be a soccer player. Never.
Absolutely.
Never. Yeah. Give it up and move on to running, where I excel.
Absolutely.
Okay, no, I don't. But that's not the point. You know what I mean?
So that's the point, is that once you know you've got that strength, once you know you've got that skill, and it's about, first of all, making sure people are aware of it, but also being a little bit humble about it. You know, you don't want to go out there and rip off your t-shirt and show your...
Well, I think what you have to me, what's very important in this whole conversation is to recognize that your gifts and your strengths don't come from you. You've got to develop them, but they aren't yours. They are gifts. And we call them gifts is because they are bestowed upon you. And whether you believe in God, whether you believe in genetics, whether you believe in anything cosmic within the universe, you have to know that your gifts are indeed just that. And it doesn't mean you don't have to work on them, because you do. The flip side of it is that with those gifts, as you said before, quoting Spider-Man, comes the responsibility to develop those gifts. So if you are good at A, B, C, or D, then it is your duty and responsibility to develop the hell out of those gifts, because that's what you've been given. So I think that brings the balance of a certain amount of humility, because it is a responsibility to do that which you have to, that which you have to do with your gift, and you've got, and just accepting that it just isn't because you're so wonderful. It has been given to you for a, and I believe this very strongly, for a God-given reason. And you know, in 120 years, when you look back on your life, you want to know that the gift that you were given, you used to its fullest and absolute best potential.
Absolutely, and that goes to respecting that people are individuals, and we are individuals because we are here to do different things in this world, and that needs to be carried into the workplace as well. There's a strong pushback, a continued strong pushback of this changing workforce, and I continue to talk about it and really get involved in it to really understand it, because it's a challenge, Howard. We're not going to change the corporate landscape overnight. But if we want people, individuals who are coming into a working environment, a team environment, collaborating together, there needs to be certain guidelines or certain rules, you know, mutual respect, you know, and when I say mutual respect, if we tie our mutual respect back to our different superhero skills, not all of us can be Superman or Spider-Man, if I can use the analogy of all of that.
No, because I look terrible in Lycra.
I know.
And how do you know?
I've seen you on Purim.
Excuse me.
I've seen you on Purim.
Is that an analogy? I don't know.
That is so rude.
So rude. That's not two, is it three?
Three. Keep counts.
You are just very lucky I'm not sensitive. But anyway, carry on. So, that I do really look very bad in Lycra.
Yeah, please change your Purim out.
First of all, actually, I just want to be clear on it.
Yeah.
There's hardly a bloke in the history of the world who has looked decent in Lycra.
That's true.
Okay, carry on.
Okay, and if you go to these new comic stores, they actually pad the outfit, so it actually makes you look better, Howard. So
maybe one thing I actually don't want is padding.
Padding, yeah, mate. Okay.
Something to help me slim down just a little bit.
I got muscles to do.
Okay, now you're being rude.
Zanati's got these visions in her mind.
Oh, goodness.
Wait till after the show when you get all the Photoshops coming in.
Right, Steve says, you know, just for a little bit of help with Lycra, shave your legs.
Oh, there you go. There, okay.
I think so. It is true, because the only thing uglier than men in Lycra is men in Lycra with hairy legs popping out of those Lycra things.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
Get them out.
Ian Basrabi joining us in the studio. We're talking about your superpower.
Exactly.
Oh, let's just do that.
Thank you, Howard. We've been speaking a lot about identifying superpowers and superheroes and that within an organization. But an interesting message that just came through to me was to people asking me, or an individual person asking me, how do you make sure that you address your superpower, or how do you identify it? I'm not sure if it's address or identify, but I think there's two things. The one is listen for the call and answer the call. And what I mean by that, so listen for the call is that if you mentioned before the break, Howard, something about that we're given gifts in life, and it's important for us to embrace those gifts and to maximize them. So if there's something that you feel you should be doing, something that you've been wondering about that you feel could be your call, if that call is pretty loud, almost like being hit over the head. Some people need that.
Yes.
But other times it's very soft, like a whisper, like you feel subtle, you feel it. You need to listen for those calls. So you need to look for your purpose. And by doing that, you then start to identify what you're good at, what you enjoy doing. But the most important thing is you can't just listen to it and ignore it. You have to actually answer that call. And answering that call means actually...
The problem is you have to be ready to.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that many of us aren't always ready to hear these messages. It's only when we are that suddenly you think, oh my gosh, how did I not hear this all along?
So an interesting point on the back of that, Howard, is I've been working with two banking institutions. Well, the one's insurance and the one's banking. And the one is having a very difficult time in terms of managing their new executives, if I can call it their new executives, being mentored and groomed into positions, because what they have is they have this, if you can call it, an older generation who are reluctant to let go. They They fear for their job security and that. And I'm literally talking about people that are heading towards 50. And that is
old people.
Old people like you, Howard. Mm. And
no, I'm over 50. Okay, so that was me. That you like gone. Last
yeah,
year.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's not to put an age on it. I think it's just to put a time. A lot of people entered the corporate world early in their careers, but have been there a long time. And now they're seeing these millennials coming in with a lot of energy, a lot of new ideas and all that. And they're feeling very insecure. So this one bank is having a torrid time, and they're struggling to empower their new leaders because the old guard, so to speak, is struggling to let go. And then I got involved in an insurance company that's doing something very innovative. What they've done is they've actually taken their senior executives and they've moved them into their innovation team. So they've taken away their executive powers or their executive commitments rather. And they've taken away a lot of their roles and responsibilities, but they've put them into the innovation space. And they're training them up as mentors, or they're training them up as coaches. And what they've done is they're then using those people to actually pass on knowledge, to utilize their experience and their skills. And it goes back to saying, Howard, you need to know when you're ready. I don't think any of us really know when we're ready. We actually
yeah, sometimes
need to
we
be,
do need a little bit of a push.
You need a push and you need an environment that's conducive to make you feel comfortable. So I would say to listeners out there that if you feel you've got a skill, embrace it. But you have to accept that you have to be vulnerable because, all our
well, it's very scary. Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, taking it from somebody who did change his whole focus and his career in my mid to late 40s, it is a very scary thing to do, and you need a tremendous amount of courage, and you need to have a very strong support system because it puts everybody within your ecosystem equally at risk. They're going, you know, you can't choose at that stage of your life to go on a journey without people around you being impacted, without them being impacted.
Absolutely, Howard. And I think the most important thing is to understand that, like everyone, all superheroes, everyone, it's a skill that needs practice. It's not going to work the first time.
Right.
And you're also going to have, like every superhero has a villain. You're always going to have somebody who's going to tell you, Howard, you're mad. How can you go on your own? How are you going to support your family? All these negative things, you need to deal with those.
Well, and sometimes that's in your own head.
Absolutely. So you need to deal with all these voices and all these so-called demons, if you want to call it, that are impacting you. But the most important thing is you don't have to always control the situation. You just need to be in control.
Right.
And I always say that if you're in control of your own life, if you're in control of your thoughts and what you really want to do, it's amazing what you can do with that potential.
Right, right. I'd love your thoughts on 34519 or 061-895-1019. I have been chatting to Ian Bessarabi.